me what your my thoughts are on 2018.
Okay.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight it's my pleasure to welcome Mary Shores. She has been recognized as a leader of innovative thought and has been described as a revolutionary thinker. Mary has spent over a decade teaching businesses and individuals how to inspire others, create new ways of thinking, identify their goals, and take action to create meaningful results. After coming from humble beginnings and experiencing devastating tragedy, Mary overcame adversity and became the youngest owner of a collections agency, one that prides itself on empowering consumers by alleviating their burden of debt. She is the innovative creator of the groundbreaking Conscious Communication System. Mary has traveled nationally to give lectures and teach courses that help individuals implement new ways of thinking so that they can take small steps toward making more conscious and impactful decisions. Her unconventional and dynamic teaching style inspires all who listen, incorporating science, ancient wisdom, and personal experience into easy-to-understand lessons and exercises. Mary has been featured on local and national radio and television shows, podcasts, and blogs. Her influential book has been released by Hay House, and she seeks to make an impact on the collective consciousness that will inspire individuals to live to their fullest potential. And for more information on Mary, please go to the World Wide Web, maryshores.com. And so with that said, I'd like to welcome Mary. Once again, Mary, how are you tonight?
I'm great, David. It's so nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you, too. Now, I forgot to mention the name of your book. It's Conscious Communications, and that came out last summer, didn't it?
Yeah, Conscious Communications, your step-by-step guide to harnessing the power of your words to change your mind, your choices, and your life. It came out on August 22nd, and it was such a magical day because it was the day after our big eclipse.
That is a magical day. Well, you know, I love the subtitle of that because words are very powerful, and a lot of us don't stop to think about our language and how we can be using it in a way that is not empowering to us.
It's so true. Just today, I spoke at the University of Illinois Business Leadership Conference and sort of shared these pieces of wisdom. And the first one was tell a new story, because, you know, I listened to the interview or the introduction that you just read, and it's all chock full of all of these accomplishments. But my story didn't start there. When I was 16, I was out on my own without still, you know, a senior in high school with zero guidance and very little resources, still managed to graduate. When I was 20, I had a daughter who was born with severe brain damage that ultimately led to her passing away a year and a half later. But for that time that she was with us, you know, I spent a lot of times in and out of children's hospitals, and, you know, but within 5 years of her passing, I had recovered fully and started my very first business. And people are so fascinated by how I was able to do that. And it's just such a testament to the power of words, because, you know, the truth is that I could have connected more to the tragedy part of that story instead of the triumph. So, you know, the bottom line is the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves will become our identity.
And we can change those stories, can't we?
Absolutely. I mean, when you learn to tap into the most empowering part and the most beautiful part of your story, it is in the moments that you figured out how to move on, how to overcome, or how to make the change.
Well, I'm curious as to how you went from working in the collections industry to transforming lives through personal development.
So, you know, again, that goes right back to this, the power of words, because even though I own a collection agency, you know, you don't typically think of a debt collector and a personal development leader in the same bio,
mm-hmm.
but yet here I am. So
mm-hmm.
I think that early on in my career, I decided that my mission was to help people feel good about paying their debt, because having a debt is a psychological burden, and it's a burden that keeps people swirling in this emotion of unworthiness and shame. And in many cases, people won't pursue their dreams if they have a debt, because like they won't apply for the same job, or they won't apply for a mortgage, and a lot of times they won't even date the same person because they feel so undeserving. And what I figured out was there were certain words, like words can heal or words can hurt. And there were certain words that if I was talking to someone who owed money, it would trigger their nervous system. So the first step in this was I learned how to eliminate certain words so that I wouldn't be triggering someone's fight or flight response. And this is very important because it eventually led me to studying neuroscience, where I started to study the effect that words had on our own subconscious programming.
Well, what kind of effects do words have on our subconscious programming?
Well, so part of my own story is that for 10 years, I wanted to write this book, go around saying to anyone who would listen, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And the thing is, in this case, words are like a mirror to your subconscious programming. It's like when you hear me say the words, I want to write a book. You can see it written on my soul, like this purpose that I need to, or I have this purpose to write this book in this life. But I have a big problem when my words that I'm not a writer are just not in alignment with that goal or that dream. And those
right.
words, I'm not a writer, are also revealing something about my subconscious programming, that somewhere in my history I had developed a belief that I just wasn't capable of writing a book. You know, maybe something happened in the second grade where I failed an English test, or maybe I thought that I had to have all kinds of connections in the publishing industry where I honestly just had none. And so, you know, if I ask myself the question, how many books was I going to write as long as I was saying the words, I'm not a writer? And the answer is none. So
right.
I had to change that belief by investing in myself. And I did that by attending a couple of writers' workshops at Omega Institute, where I wrote my first short story, which was all about my daughter who passed away in 1993. It was about raising my son on the autism spectrum and what it's like raising a child without a rule book. And it was also about my 20-year entrepreneurial roller coaster journey. And when I read my story to the class, no one criticized me. No one laughed at me. As a matter of fact, it was completely the opposite, where people were fascinated by my story.
I can imagine they would be. My goodness, you certainly had some challenges early in life.
Well, luckily, I've been able to always learn from the things that that have happened in my life, more so
mm-hmm.
than I've let them affect me.
Well, I think that's the important thing, that we look at everything that happens to us as an opportunity for learning and growth, And a lot of people don't seem to quite get that. How can they turn that around?
Well, I think that, first of all, there's several practices in my book that help them turn that around. So the book is full of one coaching exercise after another, and the parts of the ways to begin to change your story is to ask yourself, like, what good came from this?
Okay.
Like, what lesson did you learn? You know, what people did you meet along the way? What is different? How have you grown? You know, I know with myself and with my daughter, it really sent me to the library to learn so much about brain science.
I can imagine. What are the steps in conscious communications?
Well, there's so many. There's multiple steps in each one of the chapters. In the first chapter, it's all about focus. And I believe the chapter one is called Cultivating Positive Focus. So it's going to talk to you about how your neural pathways work, how what you focus on grows, and the practice at the end of chapter one is to create a gratitude practice. And gratitude is something near and dear to my heart because gratitude is really the foundation of every spiritual practice. And when I was growing up, I was taught, I think that, because I grew up Lutheran, so I was taught that I guess I owed this debt of gratitude, like I should pray to God and be grateful. So I never thought of gratitude as this internal thing that I understand it now to be, that when I am grateful for things in my life, then what I'm actually doing is priming the muscle in my brain to look for things that are good and great, good and beneficial in my life. And over time, when you have a daily practice of gratitude, what it does for you is it starts to reprogram your neural networks to where you really become that glass half full person instead of that glass half empty person.
That is so true. And it raises your level of vibration. It makes you feel so much better about yourself. And for whatever reason, it seems to attract more things to be grateful for.
Yes. And the reason it attracts more things to be grateful for is because you are wiring, you are creating neural networks in your subconscious that will recognize all the things that were probably already there. But yes, and it does attract even more. The synchronicities can certainly go off the charts at that point.
Well, it certainly helps you shift your focus, doesn't it?
Yes, certainly for me. And I have a daily gratitude practice, and you know, amazing things continue to happen to me on a daily basis.
Now, just a little bit of a diversion here. You were telling me that there was something about 2018 that you wanted to talk about. And before I forget, I wanted to give you that opportunity. I was switching us over to the studio and I didn't hear everything that you said. So I turn it over to you.
Well, this will be a big giant surprise for you then.
Okay.
So at the end of the year, I was at this meditation retreat in Virginia at the Monroe Institute. And I love to go on this meditation retreat because it's at the end of the year. So it's like the last few days of December and the first couple of days of January. So you're really doing a lot of reflecting on 2017. And then the first couple days you're spending like focusing on your intentions for 2018, focusing on like the patterns you want to create in your life in 2018. And one of the things that came out through discussion was 2018 being this amazing year of unconditional love, prosperity, and security. And it's going to come to us all by way of gratitude. And if I could expand on that, David, what I really want to say is when we're talking about unconditional love, it really means self-love, unconditional love for yourself, which is going to expand your ability just to have unconditional love for everything. And the way that we're going to accomplish this self-love is to be grateful for our gifts. So, you know, this is different than, this is a very specific kind of gratitude practice, because what I'm asking you to do and what I'm asking you to consider is to take a look at what your personal skill sets, talents, abilities, you know, what are your personality traits that have to do with your character, and be grateful for those particular aspects of yourself. So whether you're a great writer, a singer, whether you bake the best chocolate chip cookies, maybe you're a wonderful person with math or science or computer programming, you know, maybe you're a healer, a nurturer, teacher, whatever those natural gifts are, regardless of what you're doing in your job. This is not about your job. This is about your skills. That when you are grateful for those, they are going to expand. They are going to become greater in your life, and they will become the foundation of this greater and a massive sense of prosperity. So it's almost like when you're grateful for your gifts expand, and then your gifts are going to be what attracts the prosperity into your life in 2018. I mean, how fabulous is that?
That is fabulous.
Are
I love it.
Are you excited?
Yes, and that's a great segue from what we were talking about.
So, and then when you take the unconditional love and, you know, it leads to this greater sense of prosperity, we still need to think about this prosperity and gratitude, because we need to take a moment to be grateful for the resources that the earth, that Gaia provides for us. You know, grateful for the soil, grateful for the clean air, grateful for the rain, grateful for the heat in our homes, grateful for a car to drive back and forth to work. Because in the way that the teaching came in through the meditation retreat was that if we are not grateful for what the earth is providing for us, it could potentially go away. So it came by way of saying we need to be grateful, because what if we didn't have these things? I mean, can you imagine not having your car? Or not having running water? I mean, ever since I started looking at it that way, I started being grateful for everything. Like, you know, I live in the Midwest. We've had a brutal winter. I'm grateful for the men who clean off the sidewalks and the streets and lay the salt so that I can walk in my 4-inch heels to my destination. and you know, like, I can still wear my fabulous outfits because these guys are making it safe for me. And then, like, when we take a look at this, I thought, yeah, I'm grateful for the clean air I have. You know, I'm grateful for opportunities. I'm grateful for the dirt. I'm grateful for my food. I'm grateful for my team members. And when we take the unconditional love and the gratitude for our gifts, and we combine that with the prosperity, that results in a greater sense of security. Because if we had ultimate gratitude for our gifts and self-love, and we are completely taken care of in our prosperity, isn't the result of that to be secure and have trust in the universe that we are completely 100% provided for?
Absolutely.
Right. And then what we need to learn about security is, in order to be 100% in this vibration of security, we have to remove all of our fears and our doubts. We have to remove judgment from our lives. We have to forgive ourselves of everything. That's a new teaching I've just sort of downloaded, David, that I would be happy to talk to you about, because I'm really excited about this. But with the security, it's like, you know, when we're comparing ourselves to another person, we're not really being truly grateful for our gifts. We're being envious of another person's gifts. So that's why I'm saying, like, we have to remove that. We have to remove envy. And we have to – go ahead.
No, I was thinking about some of these very human characteristics that we possess that can get in the way of our living in a more expansive manner. And you were talking about fear and doubt and now envy. And these are all things that are a part of us. And so I'm wondering what your suggestions are for turning that around so that we don't get hung up in those areas.
My suggestion is to focus on the step one, which is to be grateful for your gifts. Because, like, if I were to look at it and say, you know, I'm grateful for my gifts to be able to write, speak, you know, to be able to take care of my children. But if I'm judging myself in comparison to another person, then what's going to happen is I am now judging myself for not living up to the standard that I have created. But the standard that I've created is based on a belief system that I built in childhood that, let's face it, it's all BS.
Yeah, it is.
It's all BS. And so I don't need to live up to that standard because, you know, and I think we talked about this the last time I was on the show, David. I think we talked about alignment. You know, alignment being getting your words, your thoughts, your actions, your choices all in the same direction of your goals and dreams and desires in life. Well, what has been coming to me since that show is this new teaching about alignment being even deeper than we realized before. And that in order to be in alignment, we have to remove these fears. We can't really be. When we remove these things, when we explode what no longer serves us, David, our vibration is going to go through the roof. And I've only learned this 3 weeks ago, and the things that are happening in my life are like, OMG.
What kinds of things, Mary?
Well, I just spoke at this huge leadership conference today, and it's just like everywhere I turn, doors are opening. You know, I wrote this list in 2011 called My Magic Eight, which is like the eight things I want to manifest in this lifetime. And I'm just looking at this list, and one of the things is that people want to work with me desperately, and people I think it's something like people are learning from my words and I'm teaching people through my words. And like, that's just happening. And every day it's happening more and more where I find these people are just lining up to do interviews with me, to give me speaking opportunities. You know, I just got invited to Hay House and I'm going to, on March 1st, teach a workshop at Hay House Publishing to their staff. Like, who gets an opportunity like that?
Right. That's amazing.
And so, you know, I have to remove the fears and this deeper part because I can't really be in alignment if I'm fearful. That's not alignment. That's parts of me being in alignment. So I got the words, thoughts, the actions in alignment. But now I have to work on my beliefs and I have to work on my fears. And most important of all, I have to work on forgiving myself for everything because there is certainly nothing I could ever do that would make me unlovable in the eyes of the universe because it's all experience.
I think that's so important, and excuse me for talking over you. That's one of the problems when you're doing radio this way. You can't tell when the other person is going to stop talking sometimes.
And I hardly ever stop talking.
That's all right. I didn't have a cue. I thought you were done. But, you know, a lot of times when we think about forgiveness, we think about extending that to other people. And it kind of comes back to the unconditional love where it all starts at a self level.
Yes.
And we need to love ourselves before we can truly love another person. Or love anything, for that matter. And likewise, we need to practice forgiveness, self-forgiveness, if we're going to be able to love ourselves.
It's so true. And I could say the same thing. How can you really forgive another person if you haven't forgiven yourself? And just like I talked about gratitude being sort of this thing in childhood that we were taught to pray, you know, to God for what we were grateful for. Well, what we really should have been taught was to pray to ourselves for what we are grateful for, because we are all God within. And then it's the same thing with forgiveness. And I don't know, you know, I mean, like I said, I grew up Lutheran, and that wasn't a horrible way to grow up. I'm certainly not complaining, but I think that the teachings I got just needed some tweaks. So when I was taught that I had to repent, that I had to ask forgiveness every night in my nightly prayers, I had to ask forgiveness from God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, what I really needed to do was ask myself for forgiveness.
Amen.
Because we were taught that we were sinful, and just by the fact that we were born, we were sinful and imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, we need that level of imperfection to learn the lessons that we came here to learn. If we were perfect, we couldn't learn anything.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, let's get back to your book. Tell me some more about it. You talk about brain and neuroscience in your book a lot. How did you happen? I gather you got into that because of the research you did on your children.
I did. And also, you know, because I'm this person that I love the spiritual side of my life. I love studying the mystical things. I remember the first time I ever got an astrology reading, she said, "Oh, this is interesting. It's like you're a gypsy scholar." And I love that because it describes me to a T. Like, I've got this complete gypsy mystical side, but yet I've got this very grounded and rooted in science side. So, like, I don't want to hear something unless I can back it up with the science. And so the book is this perfect marriage at the place where science and spirituality meet, because my true belief is that science and spirituality are really talking about the same thing, but they're using two different languages. And so the science of the brain, the more that I find that neuroscientists are starting to discover that these are things that ancient spiritual practices have been stating and claiming for millennia. And when you can make the connections between the two, it just really expands your awareness of what is happening. And I don't really care what somebody believes, but it's like the important thing is what direction are you steering your life?
Well, that's the ultimate question, isn't it?
It's so important, because who cares what someone believes? You know, it's like, are you coming here to do what you're supposed to do? Are you cultivating your own gifts and skills and talents? Are you living your greatness factor? Because, like, you know, everything's about purpose lately. I call it the big P word. Like, there's this purpose that we have, but it's hidden behind this curtain. And nobody really knows what their purpose is, but we're all supposed to have one. And I'm saying, you know what? We all have a purpose, and your purpose is the skills that you were born with. And when you are cultivating those skills, then you are living your purpose. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that.
I like that very much. A lot of people that I've talked to over the years that have not had a sense of self-assurance wonder what their purpose is. And I always say to focus on the things that make them happy, that bring them joy, as a starting point.
I think that's great. And, you know, I can totally relate to the people who are in that place, because, and a lot of this is in the book, I think it's in chapter 7 of the book, called, the chapter is called Becoming Who You Really Are. Because as we talked about earlier in the show, you know, early in my career, I've been a debt collector for 20 years. And I went through this existential crisis, because when I started to take a spiritual path, I was terrified that I was going to have to sacrifice my career as a debt collector. And I loved this career. I mean, I love leading my team. I couldn't imagine life without this company that I had. I love helping people. I love helping my clients. But I was really tore up because, you know, let's face it, the tax collector in the Bible was not a popular dude. So how was I, you know, there's such this negative stigma when it comes to debt collections, and rightly so, because the debt collectors out there, like, let's just face it, most of them are a-holes. And, you know, I get that, but I'm certainly running my agency with a different mission in mind. And one time when I was on a retreat at Omega Institute, I met this woman, and she was the Akashic Records reader there. And I was just talking to her about, like, I don't know what to do. I'm so afraid I'm going to lose my business. But yet, like, my spiritual path is the most important thing in my life. You know, it used to be when I was younger, making the money, winning the game. It was like life was like a game of Monopoly. But when I had that moment and I started to wake up, then all of a sudden, the most important thing to me was self-actualization, was, you know, always growing in my spiritual practice and getting one step closer to enlightenment. And, you know, that's a big goal, enlightenment. And
it sure
so she looked
is.
At me and, She said, well, Mary, she said, don't you see it? She said, you know, people, if they have a debt, a financial debt in this lifetime, it's a karmic situation. And she said, what you're doing is every time you're helping people find the solution in a positive way to clear up their debt, she said, you're actually clearing and healing their karma. And she said, every time you help them, you're actually clearing your own karma. Now, you want to talk about getting excited. I mean, the light bulbs went off in my mind, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was so excited. I couldn't wait to go back to my office and tell all my staff. So we now call ourselves the Karmic Debt Collectors. And
I love it.
I love it too. And once I looked at it from that lens of perception, when I looked at it from the lens that this Akashic Records reader had given me, my mission instantly went from this is how I run my company to now I want to make a global impact on the collections industry. I want to make a dent in the collective consciousness of how we collect debt in this country, because it is based on this punitive and consequential system that keeps people down. And so now I'm teaching other debt collectors my system of how to make people feel good about paying their debt.
How did you go about doing that, hon?
Well, in the beginning, it was very hard because they did not want to hear from me. But you know what? I did it because I stayed in my integrity and my authenticity. And I just, you know, no matter what people out there was trying to tell me that I was crazy and that I was wrong, but whenever you approach somebody by an offer of fixing their challenges, then that's the way they become interested. So instead of going out there and say, oh, you're doing this all wrong, and, you know, I would say, what if I could teach you something that would increase your revenue, decrease your lawsuits, increase your employee retention? Would you be interested in that? And then, of course, they were. That was a yes. And so I got some industry recognition when the American Collectors Association wrote a huge magazine article about me, and I think it was called something like The Magic Words. And that definitely got me some attention and led to some speaking opportunities. And, yeah, we have the other collectors now coming to me wanting to put together training packages. And that's amazing because their companies are much bigger than mine. And so if I can teach them a process, that will make a much bigger dent and make a much bigger impact that I'm looking for.
It sounds like another situation of rewriting the story.
Oh, yes. I love that. I didn't even make that connection before, David. Thank you. Rewriting the debt collection story in this United States of America. I love it. Rewriting the debt story. I love it.
Well, what else can we talk about as far as the book goes? I'm anxious to hear more.
So I think that something really popular to talk about is my concept of infinite possibilities and living by the 80-20 rule. And what I mean by this, and it's chapter 5 in the book, which is called To Cleanse or Clog, That is the Question. Because we're living in this place where we really believe that infinite possibilities exist for us. But when I listen to the words infinite possibilities, I sort of relate that to meaning that I'm going to live up to my highest potential. But truly, infinite possibilities means anything could happen. It means I could become a New York Times best-selling author, but it also means I could completely fail, right? And any spectrum in between. But how do I change my possibilities into a probability? And the difference even in the meaning of the word possible versus probable. Probable means something is more likely to happen based on the choices you're making. And so I created this really simple practice that you can do, which is making your choices based on this principle called cleanse or clog, meaning everything you do, everything you say, every word that comes out of your mouth, every action you take, every choice you make in the thinnest sliced moments of life is either cleansing you or clogging you. So if I say the example of a relationship, You know, anything I say or do in my relationship, every choice I make, every word that comes out of my mouth in my relationship is either cleansing that relationship or clogging it. Because what I'm really saying is everything is either creating a deeper connection or driving a disconnection.
That makes absolute sense.
Yeah, and then how do you apply that to every area of your life? So, like, for example, how are you cleansing or clogging your career? How are you cleansing or clogging your finances? You know, what are you doing to create a deeper connection to your financial goals? And what are you doing that's driving a disconnection? How about your wellness, your health? What are you doing to cleanse and clog your health or your spiritual growth? You know, if I'm spending hours a day scrolling on Facebook, wasting time, that is clogging my spiritual growth. But if I'm spending time investing in myself, feeding myself great material, you know, being mindful of my mindset, that is a total cleanse because everything I do is either creating a deeper connection or it's driving a disconnection. And I'm not suggesting we be perfect because like I said, we're meant to be imperfect. And that's where this 80-20 rule comes in. Because, you know, as long as 80% of the time we are making cleansing, connected choices, our life will shift so dramatically in about 45 days. And then you still have 20% of the time to have your chocolate cake, your glass of red wine, or make that mistake because we truly do learn from those mistakes. And mistakes help us to become the people who we are.
Oh, I think mistakes are so important. And a lot of people don't seem to appreciate that they are opportunities for more growth.
You know, that has certainly been the way it has worked in my life. And because I have this 80-20 rule, you know, and I'm living through the lens of cleanse or clog, even when I make mistakes, I'm still making more progress than I am going backwards.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think that mistakes can be the biggest impetus for change in our lives.
Yeah, that's so true. I know, you know, there's times that I feel like my life is changing so rapidly that I can barely keep up.
I can relate to that.
But it's all a good thing, though. You know, it's all meant to be going in a direction, which is the direction I wanted to go based on my Magic 8 that I wrote in 2008. Or excuse me, 2011.
Do you have another book in the works?
So right now I'm working on a book that has a working title of The Communication Code. And it's more of a business. So if Conscious Communications is a personal development book, The Communication Code is going to be the professional development version of that book. So this is going to be a very specific communication strategy that businesses can use in their onboarding. They can use it in their customer service. They can use it in their billing collections, their training. They can use it in HR. And it will change their organization. And on an individual level, it will also change their life.
Cool.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about living in alignment. What is that about?
Well, you know, I briefly mentioned before that living in alignment is when you get your thoughts, your words, your actions, and your choices all going in the same direction. And alignment is super interesting because, you know, I've been an Abraham Hicks fan for like a long time.
Me too.
And one time I was even on stage at Abraham, and I was in the hot seat. And I know, it was so juicy. So the thing is, I used to be confused about everything when I would hear Abraham and other spiritual teachers talk about this word alignment. I was like, are you speaking another language? Like, seriously, come on. What the heck do you mean, just allow? Like, I was so disconnected from some of these spiritual terms. So I had to sort of form my own definitions. Have you ever had that happen? Like you hear a spiritual term and you're like, I don't get it.
Absolutely.
And so I had to like create my own sort of set of definitions for these things. But alignment was the first one that when my light bulb moment went off, I sort of drew on this piece of paper. I drew an arrow with these dots that were all like points on this arrow. And I realized I needed to get my thoughts, my words, my actions, all in alignment with what I wanted. Because here's the thing, when we're out of alignment, we're not connecting ourselves to the things we want. And since you are an Abraham fan, I can go ahead and use some of the Abraham terminology. Like, you know the concept of the vibrational escrow?
Yes.
Well, so everything that we've ever created is in the vibrational escrow, correct? So
correct.
The question becomes, how do we connect ourselves to the stuff in the escrow that we want instead of constantly swirling in the chaos and uncertainty of everything we don't want? And asking myself that question led me to a set of teachings that I think are just brilliant. And it goes like this. You know, I personally cannot force my thoughts to change. I mean, I wake up and by 7:30 in the morning, I pretty much would feel like a crazy person because we have something like 60,000 thoughts a day. And did you know that 90% of them are identical to the day before?
No, I did not. I've heard the number before, but I did not know that.
Yes. And if you notice that, like, aren't your thoughts like the same every day? Well, the
mm-hmm.
reason is because your thoughts are actually a byproduct of your subconscious programming. And so in order to get your thoughts in alignment, like my suggestion is, and this is if you're like me, those of you out there who can control your thoughts, like more power to you, give me a call. I want to know your secrets. But for me, it was not that easy. In fact, anytime I would try to forcibly change my thought, I would just think that even, it's like telling you, don't think of a yellow Volkswagen. And what are you thinking about? A yellow Volkswagen.
Exactly.
But when I realized, wait a second, what I can control, what I have control over, what is my voluntary choices, my actions and my words. And it becomes a feedback loop. So, you know, I was telling the story before about how I would always say I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And I wasn't even comfortable changing my affirmation until I had evidence that I could write. And so that's a very important point because we're also taught this idea that we should use affirmations as manifestations. And I'm totally all about that, but I have to make affirmations that meet me where I'm at today. In other
okay.
words, I cannot look in the mirror and say I have a perfect body if I'm looking at a body that's 100 pounds overweight. I just can't do it because I will feel like I'm lying to myself. And neuroscience is now suggesting that affirmations that are not congruent with your truth are actually reinforcing the negative neural pathway more than, because what you want to be doing is creating a new neural network to support what you want. And so the way you connect to those things in your escrow, like one of the things that I came up with was this daily practice of you do three gratitudes. So we already talked about the power of gratitude. We do three gratitudes. We do three brags. Now, this is hard because we're also, like, especially women, are really taught not to brag. But what I'm telling you to do is brag. What are three things you're proud of today, David? What are three things you're proud of today?
Well, let me think. I finished editing a book. That's makes me feel a sense of accomplishment. I got off crutches today. I've been hobbling around for the last 7 weeks, and today I went to the orthopedist, and he said, no, you don't need them anymore, so I'm proud of that. And I always feel a sense of pride and accomplishment when I do a show with somebody that has such a spiritual foundation as you do. So there.
So, okay. So you did your three brags. Good for you. What are three gratitudes?
Well,
I know. Now we got to dig deep.
I'm grateful for all of those things. And, you know, gratitude's not hard for me. I mean, just as I'm driving along, I'm grateful for green lights. I'm grateful for red lights. I'm grateful for the sunshine that was in the air today, because up here in central New York, it's very gloomy during the wintertime. I'm grateful for my health, for my partner, for my pets, for my house, for my prosperity. I mean, I can go on and on and on about gratitude. I'm a big fan of gratitude.
That's incredible. So now you've done three things to brag about, and you've done your three gratitudes. Now tell me three desires.
Oh, boy. Well. Well, my biggest desire is to get this first book in my series out there. I have an agent, and she's very enthusiastic about the project. And so that would be one. I have a desire to continue to evolve spiritually. I guess that would be probably first and foremost if I take a look at my priorities. And I have a desire to keep becoming a better person.
Fabulous. So let me ask you something. This, I call this my daily desires diary. How much do you think it would raise your vibration if you spent just this 2 minutes every day stating out to the universe the three things you're proud of, the three things you're grateful for, and the three desires? And you did that every single day. After, say, 10 days, how much do you think it would raise your vibration and connect you to the things in your vibrational escrow, connect you to that book deal, connect you to that growth?
That's a good question. I'm sure it would make a tremendous impact. I'm going to say 50% over 10 days.
And what do you think would happen if you did this every day for 10 months?
Oh, boy. That sounds almost exponential.
It's so incredible, because here's the thing that happens. You know, we've talked about the power of words. We've talked about alignment. We've talked about all of these things, right? But when you take the concepts and you apply them and you create a daily practice, that's when you see real change. You can't just sit around thinking about it all the time.
That's true.
And so in order to really control the law of attraction, and by the way, when I sat in that hot seat with Abraham, they looked at me and said, "You are the most powerful creator we've ever seen." And I thought that was so interesting, because moments earlier when I was sitting in the audience, the only reason I raised my hand was just to prove that law of attraction was real. And if I raised my hand and they called on me, that meant it was real. And I didn't even get my hand halfway up, and they pulled me out of the crowd. And I was sitting in the back, by the way.
Really?
Yes, yes. And so here's the thing. It's the things we do that connect us to what's going to happen. And, you know, Abraham's whole teachings is that you feel good. Because when you feel good, how you feel is the point of your is the point of power in your manifestation. Okay? So if you're angry, your point of manifestation is coming from anger. If you're happy and excited and blissful, your point of manifestation is coming from that emotional frequency. And that's how we line up with other emotional frequencies that match, right? So,
absolutely.
When I was going through this horrible divorce that I went through in 2008, everything in my life was breaking. I mean, my refrigerator, my stove, my basement flooded on more than one occasion. And so what I realized is I was manifesting from this point of rage and anger. And so what was happening? All my shit was breaking. I hope I can say that on your show.
Absolutely.
Like, my shit was breaking. My life was in chaos. Right? And I had to learn how to get control over my manifestation. Now, this doesn't mean that I ignore my problems, because I'm not into that. I'm not into the positive psychology movement, because it doesn't give us a way to process the bad stuff. We need to have a way to process the bad stuff. I think when I was on the show the last time, you know, you were talking about your mother, and I think you were talking about her passing and, you know, making certain choices.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not a feel-good place, is it?
But, no, it's not.
But does it mean that because you're going through something that you should just walk around and pretend like you're happy? No. Because that's why I'm saying the positive psychology movement is causing more depression than ever, because it's causing spiritual bullying. It's causing people to look at each other and say, well, you created that. No, that's not how it works. But how it works is you get control of your manifestations. You get control of your manifestations by controlling your emotional output. And this daily desires practice that I just taught you is one way that you can connect with the good things in your escrow on a daily basis. And the power grows exponentially, which is why I asked you, well, what do you think would happen if you did this for 10 days? What do you think would happen if you did it for 10 months? When I did it for 7 months, I had a book deal with Hay House.
That's amazing.
It was.
And it doesn't surprise me, Mary.
Well, thank you.
You're a dynamo. You are.
So are you.
Practice what you preach. And, you know, there's a lot of congruency within what you say and within what you do. And I have a lot of respect for that.
Thank you.
We do have a caller. Would you like to take a call?
I would absolutely love to.
Okay, let me go to the phone lines here. Area code 707, what is your name, please?
Hi, David. My name is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Oh, I'm in my second week of my retraining.
Good for you. Well, is there anything you'd like to say to Mary, or any questions you'd like to ask her?
Well, I just tuned into the show, and she certainly is very interesting. I'm not sure if she is an intuitive or how does she help people?
Well, I'll let Mary answer that for you.
That's a great question. David, the first time I was on the show, which was back in March, David thought that perhaps I was channeling, and I am not aware of it coming to me that way. The way that I am aware of my teachings coming to me is by way of downloads. And so, you know, I just get this downloaded piece of information that sometimes takes me weeks or months to unpack. And then I can, what my superpower is really teaching people how to do it themselves. So I don't know, I know you said you just tuned in, but moments ago I was just taking David through a daily practice of how he could connect to the things that he has manifested in his vibrational escrow. And so my power is in teaching people how to do it themselves, because that's how we truly wake up in society.
I see. Well, I'm proud of myself at the end of my 2 weeks, because I'm not an assertive person, but I realized to keep my job and be successful and benefit my employer, I better be more assertive in communicating with my trainer. And I made some mistakes in class today, but I made notes on it and I learned from it. And so I'm proud of myself, because I was assertive in the sense that I had a conversation with him whereby I needed a solid understanding of why I had missed the question and more effective moving forward. And so my self-confidence is pretty high right now, and I did not let it faze me when I answered the questions wrong, because I sensed I was on the right path. And I think my trainer, I think I had a breakthrough today in my training where I was kind of seeing things and maybe scared, and then I realized it's really pretty easy. So I'm prayerful that the rest of my training goes as well. And, of course, it's always a good idea to be on a good wavelength, amicable supervisor trainee relationship. And so it ended the week for me on a good note. Yesterday was different because there was a system issue, and I wanted to follow along with the class and participate, but I could not because of the system issue. And I used my lunch break to call the technical department and fix it. And it really it upset me that I wasn't able to participate, but I had to pick myself up and keep going forward. So I'm learning a lesson that if something's really important to me, like maintaining my employment and reaching the goal of benefiting my employer so they keep me at least 3 years, then I have to be somewhat assertive and say, I don't understand this. What did I miss? What should I do in the future? And that's what I did today, and I repeated back to him. So I think I have a solid understanding. So I'm proud of the fact that I was more assertive to achieve a positive outcome.
And so I'm hearing you be proud of this assertiveness. And I can tell you that I'm 20 years as a CEO, and I've trained hundreds of people that are my staff members. And I've trained people in many, many other companies. And one of the things that I always say is that in order for someone to be competent at their job, they need to understand the instructions inside, outside, backwards, and forwards. And so if someone doesn't understand things inside, outside, backwards, and forwards, many times there can be this resistance to asking a question because they don't want to look bad in the eyes of their boss or trainer or whoever. So it is a big mm-hmm. step in the right direction that you ask that question. But let me ask you, hon, tell me what is one of your natural skill sets? What is something that you're very good at?
I'm very
good. Doesn't
have
to be your job.
Well, I have a gift for art. I can do portraits that look like photographs, but I also have a gift in the call center for getting a rapport quickly with a caller and communication.
Yes. And so this is going to be my piece of advice to you. I would like mm-hmm. you to every day spend a moment being grateful for your gifts of communication.
Okay.
So every day, I want you to be grateful for your gift of communication. And what's going to happen for you is that gift is going to expand and grow, and that gift of communication is going to bring you more opportunities in your job and in your life.
I believe that totally. And this was a big thing for me because I am 66, and it's extremely important that I up my Social Security before I start drawing. And I think that my tactfulness was very useful to me the last couple of days especially. And yesterday, something that's still with me was that if I didn't use my lunch break to call the technical department and get that resolved, then I would finish the day just sitting there and not participating. And I wasn't going to let that happen. I shouldn't have had to do it that way, the bull by the horns. And I knew what outcome I wanted, so I did it. And I was assertive in another sense too, because the minute the technical department man answered, I was very professional. I gave him my ID number and I said my name. And I said, I need you to attach to my screen to identify what's going on and fix this. He wanted some more information about what I was trying to attempt. And I articulately told him exactly what that was to expedite the process because the lunch, I had a long wait before he got on the phone. And so I was assertive yesterday too, but in a very professional way and to get things done and to help me towards my goal of longevity with my current employer.
So it sounds like you can also spend a moment being grateful for your ability to communicate your needs.
Yes.
Be grateful for your ability to communicate what you need with others.
Say why on the air, but I was very diplomatic, especially today. And so I am, I do know how to speak to people. And in difficult situations, it's been uncomfortable for me the last couple of weeks. And I had to step outside of myself and use not just my regular diplomacy, but me focus on the goal that I need, that this is my time now. I can't wait for the training to end in 6 weeks and say, oh, no, I have to do this now. And so I think that it was a turning point for me in a positive sense. Being respectful and kind to people is very important, but there is a way to do it and still get the job done.
Yes, and also I want to say to you that your greatest achievements always happen outside of your comfort zone, and that's just exactly what you're describing. You know, you're like, I was outside of my comfort zone. I needed to be this. And those are points of real growth. So good for you. Bravo. You should definitely be proud and grateful.
Well, thank you. And you phrased it very eloquently. I was out of my comfort zone, believe me. I have quite a bit of experience in call center, but a different line of insurance. And this is a big thing to me. And I was told about an experience that I had when I was a little girl. I was
Wendy?
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're running over right now, and I just wanted to say kudos to you. You really sound like you've found some growth for yourself, and you know, I affirm what Mary's been saying to you. You really have got some things to be grateful for and proud of, and I encourage you to focus on those aspects as you go through your days. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Mary?
I'm just grateful for our interview today, and thank you so much, David. I will be looking forward to talking to you the next time.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Wendy, for calling in. I appreciate it. So once again, we come to a close. Now let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we're all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week. And remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night and God bless.